This morning, Pastor Sarah has selected a lengthy scripture taken from Matthew chapters 5 and 7, some selected verses. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. But when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. You have likewise heard it said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go to hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And again, you have heard it that it was said that those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all. You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, when I was 5 years old, I was hanging out in the backyard treehouse with a friend of mine, and she happened to have brought Oreos with her. And I was a good enough kid to know that I should ask permission before eating a treat like that. So I went into the house where my dad was working. I think he was writing a sermon because he's also a preacher. And I said, "Dad, can I have an Oreo?" And he said, "No, I don't think so. You know, it's almost supper time." Well, I went back to the treehouse where my friend was waiting, and I won't tell you what happened next. When my dad remembers this story, he says that after a little while, he heard me coming quietly into the house and climbing the stairs, also very quietly. And something made him stop and ask, "What are you doing, Sarah?" I said, "Oh, just brushing my teeth." And I resumed my climbing of the stairs to head to the hallway bathroom when Dad stopped me. Somehow it seemed suspicious to him that his 5-year-old daughter would be brushing her teeth at 4:30 in the afternoon. And he said, "Hey, hang on a second. Let me look inside your mouth." So there I froze on the staircase, now right about eye level with my 6-foot-tall dad. And I had no choice but to open my mouth and reveal the inky blackness that was now all over my molars. The undeniable evidence of my dark, dark sin. I started to cry, while Dad, for his part, tried not to laugh. Rules are hard to follow. Hard rules are even harder to follow. So we're in this worship series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, his most famous sermon, and it just so happens to be full of impossible rules. Listen to what he says, all in one sermon. Do not worry. Do not judge. Do not swear at all. He says, do not resist an evildoer. He says, you cannot serve God and wealth. He says, if you call someone a fool, you are liable to the hell of fire. And if you aren't already discouraged by now, let me just close with the last rule he gives in chapter 5. He says, and I quote, be perfect. It can be so easy for these words to go in one ear and out the other, but if we stop to think about what it would mean to obey them, things get dicey. Do not worry. So if they have found a mass on your liver and you haven't even had an MRI yet to see what's going on, do not worry. Or do not judge. So if you paid for your daughter's college tuition only to have her drop out and sit around playing video games all day, do not judge. Do not swear at all. But it's football season, and I follow the Buffalo Bills. But just think about what it would mean to obey these rules Jesus gives in this sermon. He says, do not resist an evildoer. What would that mean, not just for ourselves, but for our nation? What would that mean for a nation's policies about dictators across the world or people who violate human rights? It would be pretty hard to truly do the Christian thing if Jesus is saying that the Christian thing is do not resist an evildoer. There are really two temptations for us when we hear Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The first is to spend a lifetime trying to be perfect, to follow his words so closely that we really do consider cutting off our right hand if it causes us to sin, like he says to. But the other temptation is to shrug, say, you know, I'm only human. These are just too hard. We got to cut ourselves some slack. It's like we want to rub the edges off his commands. It's that they're too sharp. Well, here's how we do it. We take his commands, like give to every beggar, love your enemies, be perfect, and we spiritualize them. That's how you get out of following them. We say, oh, these are spiritual admonitions. These are directed at our souls, not our bodies. And thank goodness, because our bodies might have to protect our stuff, not give away our stuff. Our bodies might have to destroy our enemies, not love our enemies. I think that's how we so often get beyond the cost, the true cost of these demands. If we can just keep Jesus' words in the spiritual realm, instead of the actual bodily realm that he inhabited, if we can just keep his words away from the everyday, then we can skirt our way around his sermon. Jordan and I have been married for 2.5 years now, and I will say he's a very easy person to live with. Rarely do we have any conflict. But I remember one time several months ago when I was upset with him for some reason. And truth be told, I never remember why I was upset with him after the fact, which probably shows you how important it was. But thankfully, I keep a daily journal of everything, which comes in handy when I need to remember why I'm supposed to be mad at him. But I remember he was away on a short trip, and I didn't want to spoil his homecoming by being in a foul mood. But I couldn't deny my feelings. Well, first I tried to take care of it on my own. You know, I tried more journaling. I played the piano to let off some steam. I went for a walk. Nothing was working. But I kept hearing this voice in the back of my mind urging me to reach out to a friend, a sister in Christ, to tell her what was going on, to let her know I was struggling with something in my relationship. But that's embarrassing. You know, it made me squirm to think of saying I needed her to help me keep my marriage healthy and loving and honest. I would have much rather ignored the little voice in my head and just kept playing the piano. It's so hard to send that text or dial that number, especially if you need help with something really personal, something that we consider private, even if Jesus doesn't. See, that's the thing about the Christian life. It's not private. It's not. In fact, we forfeit our right to private property when we become Christian. Suddenly, our money is not ours. Our time is not ours. Our worries about clothing and food, our marriages, our fights, all of this is fair game. Nothing is off limits. Christ touches all of these things. He says, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. He says, be reconciled to your brother or sister. Nothing is off limits with him. He talks about lust. He talks about adultery. He talks about divorce. So in those moments of struggle, we have three choices. We could not try to follow his teachings. We could try to follow his teachings on our own. Or we can reach out. I don't think we're meant to live out the Sermon on the Mount on our own. I think everything Jesus says, all those impossible rules, are meant to be lived out in community. He gives us the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters around us who will call us back to faithful living. And if it were only up to us and our self-control, we'd never do it. But Jesus gives us each other for the help we need. Thankfully, in my struggle with relationship conflict, God finally got through to me enough to send that text, and my friend answered. And she didn't say, yeah, girl, kick him to the curb, you know. No, she said things like, I'll pray for you. And have you thought about how he might be feeling in this situation? She said, what if this could be interpreted more like this? You know, a generous interpretation of something, a way to assume good intentions. She said, have you apologized for what you said? All these gentle things that were somehow also very strong, very convicting, and helped bring me back to the deeper values I want to have. It's hard to reach out, but the harder thing is trying to follow these rules on our own. I've seen Christians live out the Sermon on the Mount, but never without the help of others. You know, I've heard of guys forming an accountability group of two or three because they know they struggle with lust and they want to stop looking at porn. And so they touch base with these guys once a week for confession and repentance and encouragement. I've heard of people memorizing scripture with their workout group or their breakfast club. And after memorizing scripture, they recite the passages together for accountability. And soon the words become part of the marrow of their bones. I've heard of women who will ask each other, hey, help me stick to one glass of wine a night, or help me commit to a bedtime of 9:30. These seemingly small decisions that can have a huge impact on our ability to live out our faith. And so people check in. How much wine did you drink last night? What time did you go to bed last night? My ordination coach tells me about her Sunday school class where she's learning to love people who differ from her politically. And just her telling me about that forces me to think about Jesus saying, do not judge. And so my monthly meetings with her become yet another way Jesus nudges me toward the vision he sets out in the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to be part of a small group or a life group through our church, or if you want other ideas for these kinds of relationships, please flag me down after the service. It's my hope that God would give all of us the friends we need so we can truly be the people God calls us to be. If we have any hope of living out the teachings Jesus gives us in his most famous sermon, then what we really need is a brother or sister in Christ. And that's just what he gives us. We are given true friends who won't let us eat the Oreo before dinner. Thanks be to God. Amen. As a true church family, let us unite our voices once more in singing our closing hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing.